Let's read together Deuteronomy chapter 25. Here in this chapter, we have a number of laws under the Mosaic covenant that both protected and provided for the disadvantaged in Israel. Let's begin by reading the first three verses. Deuteronomy chapter 25, beginning with verse 1. If there is a dispute between men, and they come to court, that the judges may judge them, and they justify the righteous and condemn the wicked, then it shall be, if the wicked man deserves to be beaten, that the judge will cause him to lie down and be beaten in his presence, according to his guilt, with a certain number of blows. 40 blows he may give him, and no more, lest he should exceed this and beat him with many blows above these, and your brother be humiliated in your sight. Let's begin our study of this chapter, Deuteronomy chapter 25, with some background notes. The Mosaic covenant between God and his people consisted of more than just the Ten Commandments. I think the count is 613 laws under the Mosaic covenant. In any case, many of these laws had to do with regulating the social life in Israel, as we've seen. Here in Deuteronomy chapter 25, we have some more of these laws listed and reviewed. We will see that a number of these laws are grouped together here because they protected and provided for the disadvantaged in Israel. Here in the first three verses of the chapter, we have the law which governed the punishment of criminals in Israel. There was no prison system in Israel. There were four levels of punishment for breaking the law in Israel. There was the death penalty for murder, adultery, kidnapping, idolatry, and certain other capital offenses. There was excommunication, that is, cutting off or banishment from the covenant community. There was the lex talionis, or law of retaliation, that is, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And there was the beating, as we have described here in these verses before us. Now notice several points about this level of physical punishment. Number one, the court consisted of judges, plural, not just one judge, to decide the disputed case. This certainly guarded against bribes, etc. Number two, the guilty party was not necessarily beaten, only if the judges decided that physical punishment was appropriate. In some cases, no physical punishment would be demanded, maybe only paying a fine. Number three, the punishment had to be administered in the presence of the judge. This safeguarded the procedure from all kinds of abuse. And number four, the maximum number of lashes was 40. Remember, this was not the death penalty. On the basis of this law, the level of punishment in Israel became a maximum of 39 lashes in case a mistake was made in counting. Remember, the Apostle Paul suffered 5 times under Judaism's use of this law for his faith in Jesus as the Messiah. I'm reading 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 39 stripes. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24. Now keep in mind that our Lord was scourged under the Romans, and it may have been more than 39 lashes. And we know that the Roman whips were not just rods or canes, but whips tipped with sharp material. Let's move now to our doctrinal or teaching points for Deuteronomy chapter 25. Doctrinal point number one. The Mosaic Law provided for the disadvantaged. The Mosaic Law provided for the disadvantaged. Verses 4 through 10. In verse 4, we read, "You shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain." We know from the New Testament that the Lord had more than oxen in mind when he made this law part of the Mosaic Covenant. In reference to Christian service, we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 9 and 10, "For it is written in the law of Moses, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain." Is it oxen God is concerned about? Or does he say it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he who plows should plow in hope, and he who threshes in hope should be partaker of his hope. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 9 and 10. And in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 17 and 18, we read, "Let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture says," and now comes a quote from Deuteronomy 25, "You shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain." And now another quote from the New Testament, "And the laborer is worthy of his wages." 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. So this law was not only kind to oxen in providing for them, but it involved a divine principle of provision for the servants of the Lord. In verses 5 through 10 of Deuteronomy chapter 25, we have the law of levirate marriage, in which a woman was provided for if her husband died, leaving her without a son. Let's read these verses, verses 5 through 10. "If brothers dwell together and one of them dies and has no son, the widow of the dead man shall not be married to a stranger outside the family. Her husband's brother shall go into her, take her as his wife, and perform the duty of a husband's brother to her. And it shall be that the firstborn son which she bears will succeed to the name of his dead brother, that his name may not be blotted out of Israel. But if the man does not want to take his brother's wife, then let his brother's wife go up to the gate to the elders and say, 'My husband's brother refuses to raise up a name to his brother in Israel. He will not perform the duty of my husband's brother.' Then the elders of his city shall call him and speak to him, but if he stands firm and says, 'I do not want to take her,' then his brother's wife shall come to him in the presence of the elders, remove his sandal from his foot, spit in his face, and answer and say, 'So shall it be done to the man who will not build up his brother's house.' And his name shall be called in Israel, 'The house of him who had his sandal removed.'" Levirate means husband's brother in Latin. The way this law worked, from what we read here as well as what we read in the book of Ruth, was as follows. If a man died without an heir, then an unmarried brother or closest eligible next of kin male was to marry the widow and raise up an heir for her. The firstborn son of this marriage would assume the name and the property of the brother who had died. If the unmarried brother or eligible next of kin refused to marry the widow, for whatever reason, a public ceremony was held in which a widow removed his sandal and spit in his face, and he lived with the stigma of having the label, "The house of him whose sandal is removed." We see in this law, by the way, that God was not opposed to using social pressure to motivate a person to do the right thing. And that can take place today as well. In the story of Ruth, the closest eligible relative refused to marry and buy back the lost property for Ruth the widow. This opened the door for Boaz, also an eligible kinsman, who was in love with Ruth, to buy back and redeem the property and marry Ruth. Boaz, as the willing and wealthy kinsman redeemer, is a beautiful spiritual picture of Christ, our kinsman redeemer. So the levirate law provided for disadvantaged widows. The Mosaic law provided for the disadvantaged. Doctrinal point number two. The Mosaic law protected the disadvantaged. The Mosaic law protected the disadvantaged. Verses 11 through 16. Let's read verses 11 and 12 of Deuteronomy chapter 25. If two men fight together, and the wife of one draws near to rescue her husband from the hand of the one attacking him, and puts out her hand and seizes him by the genitals, then you shall cut off her hand, your eyes shall not pity her. You don't remember that in Sunday school either, do you? This rare form of punishment by mutilation of the woman's hand would be a logical extension of the law of retaliation, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. This law protected both the man and the woman. It protected the woman's modesty, and it protected the man's capacity to produce heirs. In verses 13 through 16, we see that the law protected the consumer from unfair business practices. Let's read these verses, verses 13 through 16 of Deuteronomy 25. You shall not have in your bag differing weights, a heavy and a light. You shall not have in your house differing measures, a large and a small. You shall have a perfect and just weight, a perfect and just measure, that your days may be lengthened in the land which the Lord your God has given you. For all who do such things, all who behave unrighteously, are an abomination to the Lord your God. The same weights and measures were to be used in buying and selling. Now, the practical application of these consumer protection laws for today should be obvious. Example, hiding the true facts about the problems of your used car or home that you're trying to sell would be breaking this law and defying the divine intent of this law. As God's people, I hope we wouldn't do anything like that. Notice here, to do unjustly, God calls such action unjust and an abomination to the Lord your God. Not just bad, an abomination to the Lord your God. The Mosaic law protected the disadvantaged. Now, what about practical application from Deuteronomy chapter 25? Obey the Lord in the hard areas of life. Obey the Lord in the hard areas of life. Verses 17 through 19. Remember what Amalek did to you on the way as you were coming out of Egypt. How he met you on the way and attacked your rear ranks, all the stragglers at your rear, when you were tired and weary. And he did not fear God. Therefore it shall be, when the Lord your God has given you rest from your enemies all around, in the land which the Lord your God has given you to possess as an inheritance, that you will blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. You shall not forget. In Exodus chapter 17, we read about how the cruel Amalekites attacked the unprotected children of Israel. The Lord said that as a result of this unprovoked act of treachery, the memory of Amalek would be blotted out from under heaven, and God would use his people to do the job. And here in Deuteronomy chapter 25, Israel is reminded of this responsibility. But Israel failed here because it was a hard assignment. It was a lot easier to let the Amalekites live in the land. Remember King Saul in 1 Samuel chapter 15 only partially obeyed the Lord in this matter when he kept King Agag alive as well as all the best of the sheep and the oxen. God expects us to obey him even in the hard areas of life, such as disciplining your children, such as separating from the ungodly pleasures of this world, such as being faithful and committed to regular attendance and participation in the services and ministries of our church, such as daily and dedicated reading and studying of Scripture, as well as a serious prayer life. It's not easy all the time, is it? Obey the Lord in the hard areas of life.